morning. Would you turn in your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 23? This is a longer reading, so sit tight. This is probably not a scripture that you have memorized, though I'm sure you've heard it before, but just because they're not always perky and full of sunshine and light does not mean that we don't have something to learn from them. So here we go. This is Jesus speaking, and he chose the stick rather than the carrot for this one. Here we go. Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees are the official interpreters of the law of Moses, official interpreters of Scripture. So practice and obey whatever they tell you, but don't follow their example, for they don't practice what they teach. They crush people with unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to ease the burden. Everything they do is for show. On their arms, they wear these extra wide prayer boxes with scripture verses inside, and they wear robes with extra long tassels to look holier than other people. They love to sit at the head table at banquets and in the seats of honor in the synagogues and their church services. They love to receive respectful greetings as they walk in the marketplaces and like to be called rabbi. Don't let anyone call you rabbi, though," Jesus said, "for you have only one teacher and you are all equal as brothers and sisters. And don't address anyone here as father, for you only have one father in heaven. And don't let anyone call you teacher, for you only have one teacher, the Messiah. The greatest among you must be a servant, but those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. What sorrow awaits you, religious teachers and Pharisees, you hypocrites. For you shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces, and you won't go in yourselves, and you don't let others enter either. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, you Pharisees, you hypocrites. For you cross land and sea to make one convert, and then you turn that person into twice the child of hell that you are. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're careful to tithe even your tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice and mercy and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things, blind guides. You strain your water so you don't accidentally swallow a bug, but you end up swallowing a camel. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, you Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are so careful to clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are filthy, full of greed and self-indulgent. You blind Pharisee, first wash the inside of the cup and dish, then the outside will become clean too. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, you Pharisees, you hypocrites. You're like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but inside filled with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity. Outwardly, you look like righteous people, but inwardly, your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you build the tombs of the prophets your ancestors killed, and you decorate the monuments of the godly people your ancestors destroyed. Then you say, if we'd lived in those days of our ancestors, we would never have joined in killing the prophets. But in saying that, you testify against yourselves that you are indeed the descendants of those who murdered the prophets. Go ahead and finish what your ancestors started. Snakes, sons of vipers, how will you escape the judgment of hell? Verse 36, I tell you the truth, Jesus says, this judgment will fall on this very generation. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers. How often I have wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me. And now, look, your house is abandoned and desolate. For I tell you this, you will never see me again until you say, blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord, and you may respond with... Yeah, that's kind of how I felt when I read the passage too. Let's try that one more time, all right? That's how I felt when I was told I was preaching this passage, actually. This is the word of the Lord. And we should be grateful for it, even when it's hard. I started off the sermon last week, as I frequently do, with 20% of everything that I say is heresy. And the reason that I said that is because I need to acknowledge that I have blind spots. And I am obviously blind to my blind spots. And we all are. That's the definition of being blind. Jesus here describes the Pharisees as being blind to their own blind spots. We all have them, but they are pretending that they don't. They're not aware of the blind spots that they have. And their blind spot is that they don't realize that their priorities are not God's. They've prioritized the wrong things here. So I have an image that I would like you to think of. I want you to picture your favorite medical show, you know, ER or Grey's Anatomy or whatever it is, and they're rushing down the ER. They're rushing down the hallway with a gurney. There's a patient who's dying here at the moment. You've got nurses on either side. They're dealing with the vitals at the moment. And you've got a doctor behind, and he's clipping the patient's toenails. That is kind of the image of what's going on here. They should be focusing on the vitals, and instead, we're dealing with toenails. That's what's going on in terms of the Pharisees. Toenails are important. God gave them to you for a reason. The vitals are more important. And that's what's happening here. So doctors should not be giving pedicures running down the ER. But that's what the Pharisees are doing. Jesus has just been talking to the Pharisees about what is most important. The passage immediately preceding this, a Pharisee asks Jesus, what's most important in the law? And Jesus responds with, love God and love neighbor. These are our top two priorities. Jesus starts with the big picture, and the reason is because he wants us to understand God's intentions for humanity. So we have to keep the priorities in focus here. And the Pharisees have lost them. And if we lose sight of our priorities, if we lose sight of love God and love neighbor, and Jesus will add later, love one another, then this is going to become about rule keeping. And this is going to become about appearance. And this is going to become about holy religious practices that are absolutely empty. And we still have to guard against this. We still have Pharisees. You might be looking at one. You might see one in the mirror. So let's preach to ourselves here. What did the Pharisees do? The Pharisees were expert rule keepers. They were the professional rule keepers. In fact, what they liked to do was there was a rule that God would give them, and what they'd do is put a box around that rule and say, okay, we're not only going to violate that inside rule, we are not going to violate the outside one. We're going to protect ourselves from breaking the rule by putting extra rules around it. So everyone knows the most common example of this. It doesn't really happen in church circles anymore, but people used to say quite frequently that because we can't get drunk, therefore we should not touch alcohol. So, drunkenness, Scripture is very clear about. We're not to go there. But people instead decided to put additional boxes around that and say, okay, now you actually can't touch alcohol, and that becomes wrong. Well, that's what the Pharisees used to do. So, it's one thing to simply guard yourself and make your own personal boundaries. Of course, go for it. If you need to put a box around something to protect yourself, do it. What the Pharisees did is they created those boxes and then imposed them on other people. And then measured those other people according to whether or not they measured up to their own personal standards. So that's one example. The problem is, you know, back in the day, the Pharisees were actually people that were deeply respected. So Jesus takes a stick to them partly because these are the people that everyone looks up to. All of the common people look up to the Pharisees. They want to be like them. Because they look really disciplined. They look really holy. And sometimes we're just not going to be able to tell the difference whether this person actually is doing it for the right reasons or not. But the common people would say, you know, I wish I could keep the rules like those people because they seem to be really, really serious about God. I wish I had that kind of discipline. So there were perks that came from being a Pharisee. They got a lot of praise, actually. They really did. They got a lot of praise and a lot of respect from the common people. There's this admiration that comes from doing your religious duties really well. And it's really dangerous for those of us who have to do it publicly. Really, really dangerous. Because what happens is you get praised for it. And there's this, it can develop into this sense of superiority. You start to feed on people's admiration. That's heroin. It's really, really dangerous. Kristen offered a wonderful prayer here. And I really appreciated it. I'm not the only one up here on a Sunday, right? But we got to be really careful, not just with how we respond to them, but whoever is up here needs to be really careful about guarding the heart. There's a sense of superiority that can come from doing your religious duties well if you're not guarding your own heart. These people loved the titles that they were given, like rabbi and pastor and reverend and doctor and professor and all of these things. And you know what? If we don't guard ourselves and we start loving people's praise and people's admiration, people's respect, then that'll become the reason why we do our religious stuff. That'll become the reason why I offer a sermon or we offer a prayer up here or we play on the worship team or we serve downstairs or whatever it is that we do. That can easily become the reason we do it. And the Pharisees had lost the priority. Now, that's not to say that we shouldn't encourage people. We should encourage the people who do serve, absolutely, because those who do serve up here publicly need encouragement. The point is that those who do it need to guard their hearts when they are doing it. We can't become addicted to praise or laughter or feeling superior because it's heroin. It really is. And what it does, as it did with the Pharisees at the beginning of this passage, is it undermined the reason why they served. And it no longer became about God. They lost the priority. It no longer became about loving God first and loving our neighbor. It became a self-serving thing. And we got to be careful about this. Because what happens is the Pharisees end up majoring on minor points because they lost the priority of what was most important. Here's what one person had to say this week. He said, the main thrust of this chapter, Matthew 23, it relates to the Pharisees' fundamental approach to religious life. Their hypocrisy is not so much conscious insincerity as it is a distorted perspective which makes them think that they are doing the will of God and all the time missing the main point. The attitude attacked in this chapter is a matter of ever more detailed attention to the rules and regulations while all the while failing to discern God's priorities. They missed God's priorities and they started focusing on the nitty-gritty details of the law. Because they loved praise, because they loved the perks that come with religious duties, and they're just everywhere. Anytime that you serve, there's always an opportunity for it to end up being about you. I so appreciate the way that you took care of my 4 and 5-year-old down in children's church today. I couldn't have been upstairs without you. And you know what? You can start to serve downstairs just for the rewards like that. And not because you actually love God and love those kids and want to use your gifts, right? It's not just the people up here. The Pharisees had lost sight of what was most important, and it became instead about keeping rules. It became about religious duties instead of the one to whom we do these things. I'm only going to give you one example from this text, so I'm going to pick up on the passage that talks about they tithe their spices. The law told them that they were supposed to tithe from their income. So Mr. Pharisee is a farmer. Okay, picture Mr. Pharisee. Or Mr. Farmer is a Pharisee. I should get that the right way around. Mr. Farmer is a Pharisee. Mr. Farmer grows corn and wheat for a living. It's a really lucrative business in those days. If you were a farmer, you were the rich guy. And Mr. Farmer, the Pharisee, It's harvest time. And so what he does is he collects all of his corn. He harvests all his corn and he puts it into 10 equal-sized piles. They all measure in good biblical measurements, 12 cubits by 12 cubits. And what he does is he takes one of those piles, one pile, 10% of his income, and he sells it, turns it into money, and he takes it to the temple in Jerusalem to donate, to pay his tithe, as he is supposed to do. Well, Mr. Pharisee, at the end of a very long day, comes home, and he says to his wife, I'm really hungry. She puts some food on the table that she has prepared because they are farmers. They've been harvesting corn and wheat, so they're going to have cornbread for dinner. And she puts cornbread on the table for dinner. And he tastes it, and he's like, honey, this is really good. You've done something different. She says, oh, yeah, I'm so glad that you noticed. My little dill plant that's been growing in the window, it's ready, and so I mix some dill in the cornbread. I'm so glad that you like it. And Mr. Farmer chokes on his cornbread, and he's like, spices! I totally forgot about my spices. I did the corn and I did the wheat, but I totally forgot about the spices. And what he does is he runs over the window, rips open the plant, cuts it up, dices it, puts it in 10 equal piles, measures them to make sure that he's not going to cheat God by one single gram, runs to the market, trades it in for a dollar, and runs to the temple to donate his dollar. Well, on the way to the temple, he runs into Oliver Twist, and he puts out his bowl, and he says, please, sir, I want some more. I'm a hungry orphan. And the guy says, nope, sorry, can't help you. I'm on my way to the temple to donate my $1 from my spices. That's what's happening in this passage. Jesus says, you strain out a gnat, and you swallow a camel. Because you neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. The Pharisees majored on minor things and missed the point. Mr. Farmer prioritizes small things over big things. And he missed God's heart. He missed God's priorities. The Pharisees have trouble prioritizing. What comes first? They forgot about love God first, love neighbor. Is Jeff Foxworthy a thing in Alberta? Like, I heard about him growing up. I hear that laughter. Yeah, you might be a redneck if. I only know one of those. Like, you might be a redneck if your family tree doesn't branch. You might be a redneck. He was really popular back in the day, or maybe he still is, I don't know. Well, what about you might be a Pharisee if? So here we go. You might be a Pharisee if. If you're an angry tyrant to get your family out the door so that you could be at a worship service on time. Anyone else guilty about this? I'm not, actually, because I come with Rob. So. Yeah. I've experienced that guilt on other occasions, though. You might be a Pharisee. You know, being late is bad, okay? Treating people poorly is worse. Misplaced priorities here. If you play an instrument on a worship team to entertain people, you are in danger of being a Pharisee. Poor playing is bad. Sure. Poor playing is bad. Not serving with your gifts is bad. Not worshiping. These are bad things. But if you do it for the purpose of entertainment and applause, well, you've missed God's priority here. You've missed the point. If you're on the prayer chain because you want news, not because you want to pray for people, that's bad. If you offer someone praise and encouragement in order to make them feel good so that your next request will be received better, you might be a Pharisee. Encouragement is good. Not encouraging people, that's bad. Manipulating people by using encouragement to get what you want is worse. If you work at a store that says that this washroom is only for paying customers, and there's someone really needy in front of you, and you choose the rule over that person, you know, that's a really trivial example of the way that sometimes we put rules ahead of people. We do. People matter first. People matter more than things. People are first place here. We don't let rules break people. If you listen to a sermon to find the 20% of the heresy, which is there, rather than God's voice, and that's what you focus on, misplaced priorities. You should notice the heresy. You should notice the blind spots. And then what you do is you let it go, or you take it up with me afterwards. But we are here to hear God's voice. That's the priority. I find this, because I do the sermons, so I don't really look for the heresy. But, you know, I sit there in that seat, and I notice all the grammar mistakes on the punctuation on the screens, and sometimes it drives me nuts, right? And I focus on that rather than on the person I should be worshiping. If your church building means more to you than the people who are in it or the neighborhood it's in, you might be a Pharisee. I worked for a church briefly in Ontario where they had the most successful part of this church was its youth program. And it ran on Friday nights, and they had a lot of youth come from the neighborhood who would never have darkened the door of a Sunday morning worship service. And so it was going really, really well. But you know, there's some collateral damage that happens when you have youth in a building on a Friday night. And so someone who cared more about the building than the youth took me aside one week and told me that the youth were not allowed to run in the building because he didn't want to patch any more paint on the walls. Misplaced priorities. Now, Sunday mornings, I tell my kids, and I hope you tell your kids, please don't run around here. But I tell them why, because I don't want you knocking over our seniors. But it's different on Friday night. It's different on a Friday night, okay? Is our building a tool for ministry, or is the building the ministry? Misplaced priorities. We've got to be careful about this. Because there are just times, you know, when we end up focusing on toenails instead of CPR. If we got to be really careful about this. Because Jesus has really strong things to say. This isn't just pointing out people's mistakes. He goes on to issue a warning. And he says the results of this are, first of all, he says, woe to you, which is a fancy old way of saying you're hooped. And we should hear that. You're screwed. But he goes on to pronounce judgment. Judgment on these people because they brought it on themselves. Because they lost God's heart. They didn't understand the priorities. And if we lose the priority long term, we have no choice but to be removed from whatever it is that we're doing, whether it's leadership or just service in general. We cannot lose God's heart. These people brought it on themselves, and they should have known better because they were the religious experts. There are people that grew up in church like me and you. Anyone else grow up in church? Like we can just speak the language second nature. It's the only language we know, right? The people who should have known better. They pray and they tithe and they fast and they're really good public speakers and they've taken their spiritual direction classes and passed their Hebrew. And you know what? They missed the point, like I can do. But I do want to point out, we hear this and we think Pharisees, they're clergy. Pharisees aren't clergy, friends. The priests are clergy. And Jesus is not talking to the priests. He's talking to lay leaders. Mr. Farmer, the Pharisee, is on his local synagogue board. Mr. Farmer the Pharisee is an armchair theologian who teaches Sabbath school classes. So yeah, this applies to me and Rob. And it was a really hard passage to read, and it's harder to preach, and I hear it because I'm wriggling on my hook here, but this applies to a whole lot more than just pastors because the Pharisees weren't the clergy. The Pharisees were the well-meaning volunteers who made things happen, and they were the people that other people in the pews respected because they were lay people. And they did their jobs really well, or they seemed to. The warning is that if we don't be careful, God will burn the church. And I mean that like almost literally. God will burn the church. This passage that we love, you know, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I've longed to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks under her arms. That sounds wonderful. And it is. It is wonderful, but not for the nurturing reason that you are thinking about. The picture here that everyone in his context, in Jesus' context, got that we don't, is that this is a picture of a barn fire. And what happens in a barn fire is the mother hen gathers her chicks under her arms so that when the fire is done, there's going to be rotisserie chicken on top and live chicks underneath. That's the picture here. And if you look at the verses, you'll notice that Jesus is referencing that. Your house is left to you desolate, is the next line. Jesus is longing to gather people under himself to protect them from what's about to happen. And what's about to happen is coming about as a result of the religious practices that the Pharisees have pushed for so long that Jerusalem has fallen under their sway. And Jesus says, if Jerusalem goes that way, Jerusalem's done. It's a prediction of judgment, judgment to come. Matthew 24 is all about the destruction of Jerusalem that's coming. And that's going to be Rob's problem next week. Good luck with that, dude. But you'll notice that the very next set of verses is the disciples asking Jesus when the temple is going to be destroyed. And even in these verses here, he says it's within one generation. And that happened, friends. The temple was destroyed and Jerusalem was destroyed within 40 years of Jesus saying this. When he says that this judgment will come on this generation, it was that generation. And it was as a result of them following the example of the Pharisees and majoring on minor points and missing God's priorities. And God takes that really seriously. So let's hear that as a church. We need to discern what's most important. It's God first. It's people first. Or God will burn this whole thing down. Let's hear that very carefully. During the season of Lent, what we have been doing is offering prayers of confession followed by an assurance of pardon. So what I'm going to do is close with a prayer of confession. We're then going to move into a time of communion. Having confessed our sins, we are going to come and embrace the table where God reminds us of Christ's forgiveness to us because of what he has done, that he took the fire in order that the chicks would survive. Then after we have practiced communion, what I will do is I will offer an assurance of pardon because that's part of this too. It's not just that we've done something wrong and we are now without hope. There is always hope. This is where it starts. So please join me in prayer. Lord, sometimes our hypocrisy is just blatant, like yelling at our kids for yelling at each other. Other times it's more subtle, and we claim to love you, yet we treat the people that you love like they're our pawns or our problems. Sometimes we tell ourselves that we are serving you at church, and all we're really doing is serving ourselves by feeding our need for praise or to keep up appearances or building up our own sense of superiority. Lord, sometimes we're the moral police who care more about making sure that the rules don't get broken than making sure that people are cared for. Lord, we confess that we don't regularly ask ourselves if the things that we get upset about are actually your pet peeves or ours. Lord, we confess that we nitpick, that we major on minors. We confess that we're blind to ourselves and we haven't even seen the need for confession. So forgive us, Lord. May we listen to Jesus' warning. May we learn from the failures of the Pharisees, and may we find forgiveness with you. Amen. Brothers and sisters, having made our confession, we find God's grace comes in the form of a meal represented at this table, where God offers himself in our place. Now, if you follow Jesus, you are welcome to take from these elements, our bread and our cup that will be passed out. What we will do is distribute them to you individually, and then we'll indicate that it's time for us to all take them together. The bread is not gluten-free. There are crackers in there that are gluten-free, and you can take those. Following both the bread and the cup, I will then offer us our assurance of pardon, and then I will invite the tellers to come, and we will take up a benevolent offering, which is what we do after each communion service. This offering goes towards the needs that we hear about in our community, not our budget, not my salary, nothing like that, just needs that we hear about. It often goes towards things like groceries for people in this area, or help with a car payment, or stuff going on at Normando School where they're in real need. So please feel free to give. Let me offer a prayer for the bread. I will then invite Rob to come up. Lord, we do not presume to come to your table, merciful God, trusting in our own goodness, our own righteousness. We trust instead in your all-embracing love and mercy. We are not worthy even to gather up the crumbs under your table, but it is your nature always to have mercy. So feed us with the body of Christ, your Son, that we may live forever in him, and may he live in us.